it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Colin Cowherd, yesterday on the latest of the North Carolina fiasco, dumpster fire, whatever word you want to use to call it. It feels weird. This is their second bye week in 3 weeks.
Yeah, interesting.
Right, they had a bye week before Clemson.
Yep.
Now they have a bye week after Clemson.
Yep.
I don't know. That just seems weird.
But. And you just know those kids are so thankful they've got a bye week this week. Like, you have to put yourself in the mind of an 18-year-old UNC football player coming off a loss like that to Clemson and the coach that you've got and all the media attention around it.
Mm-hmm.
You are happy for this bye week.
Yeah, that was the biggest thing when I looked at this Bill situation is how was he going to – his coaching style and how – these kids were going to be able to deal with that type of coaching style, right?
It can't be the same.
It looked like it was because in the beginning, remember, nobody was wearing numbers on their jerseys. It was like, you know, we've seen that before. He did that with the rookies when they came here. It's just like, how is that going to work at the college level when that works when you're Nick Saban, like kind of like Coward said, when you have all this success. But when you're a Bill and you had success at the NFL level, but that success was, you know, a while ago, like these college kids don't know.
Yeah.
Can we all agree that Bill is only here because he didn't get what he wanted in the NFL? That there's no chance this is the job that he wanted to have, no matter what he said about liking Duke?
I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think this is the job he wanted.
You don't know?
So, I don't know. I take people at their word, and that might be silly of me, but I don't necessarily jump to the fact that Bill, you know, was pissed and just had to take a job that was offered and took UNC. Like, we always talk about the fact that if you thought Bill Belichick was ever going to coach in college, and many people didn't, me being one of them, you would have thought that if the chance ever happened, it was going to be a massive SEC school for him to end up at UNC.
Right.
And I understand the connection there, but it's Bill Belichick. Like, that landing at UNC is such a wild move that in my mind, the only way in which he ends up there is because he wanted to.
I think the only way he ended up there is because he didn't have another option.
Like he's hurting for cash. Like, Bill Belichick, he could wait another season to then figure it out.
Right. He wanted to go to North Carolina. He wanted to turn it. When he didn't get an NFL job, he wanted to go to North Carolina and use it as a stool to get back into the NFL to get to the wins record.
Like, if he had been offered at the same time the UNC job and the Falcons job, he takes the Falcons job 100 times out of 100.
Not even a question.
But I would look at, and I'd go, and I'm trying to look at it, and it seems like the only other school where I would go, all right, Bill, is that when he became available, it was UNC, and I believe West Virginia was the other football school like that you would look at and go, okay, this could be an opportunity. I just feel like if there was a better opportunity out there, you would think Bill would go to that point. To go to UNC, I kind of agree with you, Curtis. It was like, all right, there's nothing available. I want a coach, and I'm talking to UNC. But
right. And he didn't want to have 2 years where he's not doing coaching of any kind.
See, I would have sat out this other year.
It would have been better.
And I would have waited for Florida to open up, which it looks like Florida potentially could open up. We know Arkansas opened up.
But, Wiggs, think about how we view coaches after they're on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Rex Ryan was a punchline. He failed miserably in Buffalo. He got fired by the Jets. And now he's got those brand new pearly whites and he sits on Get Up and Sunday NFL Countdown. And all of a sudden, he's viewed with some reverence. Look at Bill Cowher.
Yeah.
A guy that left and all of a sudden Tomlin came in and won. If Belichick had just done NFL Today or Fox NFL Sunday for a year, sit back and do what he was doing, which the new persona with Pat McAfee and trying to be more relatable, he would absolutely have an opportunity. Right now, it's over.
Oh, it's over now. It's over now. He jumped the gun too early because there were no really good schools. So it's UNC and West Virginia that maybe are available for you, Bill.
BC might be available.
No, like I was just responding to somebody in Twitch. Like if one more person says, BC worse than UNC, but no one will say it. We have said it. It was my lead. We've talked about BC a million times. Like this isn't us trying to cover up BC. It's because it's Bill Belichick is the greatest coach of all time. He is a national story. This isn't just us anymore talking
about
him.
Imagine being that big of a child that you can't allow someone to talk about how your favorite coach is failing. It's okay. Nobody's taking away the Super Bowls. They're all here. He's going to the Hall of Fame. His game plans are there. Nobody's touching it.
But why are you focusing on UNC when BC only has one win?
It's the biggest story in the country right now. Would you say the biggest story in sports right now is Bill Belichick's demise at North Carolina?
Good Morning America was talking about it this morning.
I would say it's pretty big.
BC sucks. We have sucked my whole life. I majored in sucking. Like, everything about BC football sucks. Mm-hmm. I wish it was better. It is not. So I don't know what you want me to tell you. The punishment of watching them gag away that final minute of that game against, who was it against? I don't remember.
You mean just last week?
The one where they got to the 5-yard line and then.
Oh, that was against, that was 2 weeks ago.
Was it Cal?
Yeah, it was Cal.
Yeah, BC Cal.
BC Cal.
So yeah, we suck. And then we got blown out by Pitt by 60 points. Mm-hmm. I don't know what else to say about it.
Well,
really bad.
I think
it's because you have a weekly guest from BC. He canceled on us.
Right. He doesn't even come on anymore.
I think the thing about this is, you know, when people...
Interesting also that people want us to talk BC in the Twitch chat, because whenever we did that before, it was a waste of time. Carry on.
I think what's interesting and why it's such a massive story, I mean, we obviously know all the other stuff with Jordan and Bill Belichick, and we know what that is. But I think the biggest part of it is that our expectations, and when I say our, I'm talking about everybody in America who talks football, was Bill Belichick turning around UNC,
right?
just as a football coach.
We talked before the season about would it be more impressive to win an NCAA championship than it would be to win a Super Bowl.
Right. So, and I think that's why it's so interesting is forget the off-the-field stuff, because who the hell knows what's true and what ain't true. The fact that when you watch UNC play, you go, wow, man, they look bad.
Unprepared. Undisciplined.
Unprepared, undisciplined, mistakes.
Checked out.
It looks like guys don't care. And you're like, wait a second. This is the greatest coach of all time that we saw in the NFL, and we're watching him with a football team coaching that it looks like this guy's never even coached before.
And you watched that Clemson game, and I did. It was on at noon last Saturday.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting back saying, okay, they got a bye week.
Yep.
This is an opportunity for the team to, you know, it's been a choppy start, but it's a new administration. And it wasn't that they didn't show up.
Right.
I mean, the first play from scrimmage was a 75-yard double pass. And it got worse every drive thereafter. Dabo called the dogs off. Like, if they really played that game, UNC wins 75-3.
Right. And we saw that after week one against TCU. We're like, all right, great first drive. And then we're like, oh, this thing fell apart. And then TCU proceeded to just curb stomp them. And then I watched the UCF game, and I'm like, oh, man, they had opportunities, but they just are sloppy. They had 3 turnovers inside the 20, and then UCF kind of ran away with it. And then obviously you talk about the Clemson game, and it just looks like we have never seen, even, you know, the 2000 team, like a Bill Belichick coach football team just look this bad. And granted, I get it's college football, but our expectations were...
I mean, it looked kind of like the final year here, to be honest. I mean...
But I don't necessarily see guys giving up or quitting. There might have been a little bit of, you know, friction and, you know, guys not like...
Well, do you remember those stories that were the anonymous players at the end of the year about how dysfunctional it was? Like,
but that was the end of the year. This is like, we're not even in week 5 in college football, and this is like the beginning of the season. So I think that's the reason why it's so interesting is that it just looks so bad as a coach for a guy we've seen on the sidelines get the best out of so many players and teams. And you're like the guy, what's the guy's name we had on from you?
Pat.
Like Pat said, it's not even like the off the field stuff. Like, remove that. Like, they're one of the worst teams in college football.
Yeah, Power Four games, they've been blown out. It's not even been close.
Yeah,
and it's not. The thing that is just, I don't know what the next step is. I don't believe, you guys may be right that he coaches the rest of the year and this is, you know, the fire's put out for a period. I saw Belichick's daughter-in-law on.
I am going to snap.
What happened?
Like, people don't listen. People don't listen. They're like, biggest story? Do you know what's going on in the Middle East? We said biggest college football story.
Oh, my God.
Like, yeah. I can't, like, reading comprehension is a problem in this country. Clearly, because I've typed it 9 million times in this chat.
Yeah, well, it's a problem. You got to stay out of the chat. People only want to listen.
I love the chat. But they only the chat. They only want,
the problem is they only listen to the things that they want to hear. Hey, there's listen, we know there's a million things going on in the world, but guess what? This is a sports station. You want to hear about what's going on in the Middle East? Tune into NPR or something like that. I don't know what to say. It's like saying,
please don't stay.
No,
we love you.
But no, it's like people who go, you know what? I don't understand why the hell I got all these comedy shows on. Where are the serious shows? Well, you know what? Get the hell off the Comedy Central Network and go tune into, you know, CNN or something like that.
Yeah.
I just think when you look at this Bill Belichick situation, it to me, the biggest thing is just the dysfunction of on the field.
Yeah.
And I would have never in a million years thought it would look like this.
Because to me, all the stuff that's circulating around him, I don't know, you don't know,
Courtney doesn't
know the actual what's going on.
Right.
But what you see in the actual evidence on the field is the fact that nobody's listening.
Right.
Because we know Bill Belichick can coach, and you know he's not coaching them to play like this dog food.
Right.
And when we enter, you know, where we're going to be for the next steps, you know, where does this go from here, it would be really crappy if Bill's final time as a head coach ends in Chapel Hill with a season like this.
So do they fire him?
I think that they come to a mutual parting of the ways at the end of the year, similar to how we ended here, where they'll figure out it's not going to be $20 million and he's not going to pay a million. It'll be like $10 million.
Yeah, but see, here's
bucks.
The difference, though. He doesn't want to stop coaching. So I don't know. I guess... they would have to fire him because he doesn't want to stop coaching. And just like here, Robert Kraft, you know, he then went on to say, we fired him, right? I don't know if Bill, and that was over 20 plus years. I don't know if Bill after 1 year is going to go, all right, I'll mutually agree to part ways with you, because he has to believe in his mind, okay, I can fix this.
Yeah. 617-779-7937 if you want to weigh in on Bill. In 12 minutes, I'm going to ask Nick Kostos if Trump got screwed not winning the Nobel Peace Prize. But right now, here is Courtney with what's trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Subaru of New England. The Bruins take the home opener in overtime. 4-3, the final against the Blackhawks. Bees rookie Fraser Minton got the game winner. Korpisalo was in goal. He had 21 saves in the win. They're off tonight before taking on the Sabres at home tomorrow. Puck drop is at 7. The Celtics have another preseason game tonight at 7 in Toronto. And the Eagles fell to the Giants in Thursday Night Football. 34-17 was the final. The Giants held the Super Bowl winner scoreless in the second half to get to 2-4 on the season. The Eagles dropped to 4-2. Some really sad news. Beloved member of the Loyola University basketball program, Sister Jean, has died at the age of 106. And former Sox All-Star Mike Greenwell has died at the age of 62, 2 months after announcing thyroid cancer. It's a Patriots Friday. Midday show will be joined by Milton Williams. The Pats matchup with Saints on Sunday is at 1 p.m. And fall in love with the 2025 Subaru, SubaruofNewEngland.com, featuring symmetrical all-wheel drive. Find yours at SubaruofNewEngland.com. That's what's trending. Coming up next, Nick Kostos.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That was Paul Feinbaum yesterday on ESPN talking about the dumpster fire in North Carolina. I just want to remind everyone, Like we are every day, we are live on Twitch this morning, and we're brought to you by Springer's Jewelers. For over 150 years, Springer's Jewelers has helped New England celebrate life's biggest moments. Located in the beautiful, tax-free Portsmouth, New Hampshire, Springer's carries the world's finest jewelry and watches. Visit springersjewelers.com. We'll have Nick Kostos here shortly. You guys are lined up at 617-779-7937 to talk Bill. And I realize I've been derelict in my duty to talk about Hill Notes. I've been, you know, juggling, you know, Wiggy's remembering of the chef, whatever, in East Boston. And
great chef. Great chef.
But we have Hill Notes coming up in about 20 minutes. If you want to leave one of those, you're more than welcome to. Good morning, Jim in Yarmouth. How are you?
Good. How you guys doing?
Good.
I actually just wanted your opinion on this. I'm wondering if, you know, people already saying, you know,
Oh, no.
Did he think coming in? I
wait,
mean,
wait, Jim, start over. You ask your question
between,
again. Your phone dropped out.
You know, coaching the Patriots. I mean, putting all that aside, you know.
Oh, God, that was frustrating. I have no idea what he was asking. If you put all that aside, I'm moving towards Courtney and Wiggy's side of the street. I think I was wrong when I said that he wouldn't coach again this year, or get fired before the next game.
Yeah.
You guys are right. That was too, that'd be too hectic, chaotic.
He thinks he's going to coach next year.
Right.
Yeah,
he
I think so.
They're going to give him next year.
Because the reason why is you spent all this money, and Courtney, you brought up a great point off air. Not only did you spend money on bringing Bill in, but all the marketing about Chapel Bill and all this other stuff. You just fired Mac Brown, so you owe him money. It's not and it's not that they don't have the money, but it's not a great look. You fire Mac Brown, who had, you know, been bowl eligible pretty much every year he coached there. Then you bring in Bill, you drop all this marketing into him, you pay him a ton of money.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
And then you're going to fire him and move on to the next guy?
Yeah, the money's not a problem. They got plenty of rich
Yeah, but
donors.
They're not a football school, though. It's not a problem.
He's making the school look bad,
right,
continually.
But it's not an Alabama or Georgia where
but
they're
why
like...
why if I'm at North Carolina, do I want to continue to have this guy embarrass my school? We're getting talked about with sanctions that we're breaking rules, that there's been this open mutiny against the guy. Why would you want to continue that? In the movie about Bernie Madoff, there's a great scene on HBO where the lawyers say to the kids of Bernie Madoff that, like, if you don't say something, there is a crime in progress.
Mm-hmm.
There is a crime ongoing, and if you don't stop it, you are an accomplice in it. North Carolina is watching a dumpster fire in process.
Right, but they have to realize that, okay, there was going to be – we didn't realize there was going to be struggles, but there are. So we just can't pull the plug on the struggles because then it makes us look even worse.
But nationally, the story right now isn't that North Carolina's dumb. It's that Belichick's done. And I think that the judgment on North Carolina would get worse if they decide to double down on an investment that is clearly not giving them any dividends.
Well, UNC also has to be careful because their athletic department has been in headlines for the wrong reasons in the past and not that far away past. Like, they were having classes that weren't actually classes for athletes. And
yeah.
They've been in hot water mm-hmm. before. Their athletic department needs to be careful
right.
of where
and
they
you
put themselves.
And you don't want to pull the plug where you can be like, okay, you know what? Maybe he can turn it around next year. Like,
But what evidence is there of that?
Well, there's not. But that's every coach. So you're going to pull the plug on every coach?
I think in hindsight.
Are you going to pull the plug on Rich Rodriguez, who is at West Virginia, who they're not doing very
Rich
good?
Rich Rodriguez has had success in college.
No, I get that point. But we're talking about coaches in their first year.
Right. I'm saying that if he's 33, not 73, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But he's 73. I don't think he's going to get more with it, more connected to kids as he ages.
No,
I
don't know. But maybe what he does is like the guy Pat said yesterday. All right, you brought in, you know, 50 kids. Now what you need to do is bring in 50 more, and you completely get all the other kids that were there pre-Belichick out, and now it's all Bill's kids, and we don't have the locker room fights and some of these
and
other...
We keep talking about how Bill brought in so many kids. Off air, Wiggy was just going through the numbers, and he was like, BC brought in how many?
39,
and Bill Belichick and UNC brought in 50. Like, yeah, it's not that big of a jump.
And West Virginia brought in 50. UCF brought in 50 transfers with... You know, this year with two new coaches.
Well, then how did UCF win with all that turnover against North Carolina?
No, No, they were able to, but West Virginia hasn't won. So
but I'm saying, if we're going to talk about the turnover and how many kids, it's hard to do. UCF
no,
beat North Carolina.
I'm not saying the turnover is a bad thing.
But that's what everybody else said, that he's only year one, he has 70 new kids.
No, what I'm saying is the kids that they brought in are not getting the job done. So it's more of...
But who brought them in?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I agree. It's more of a black eye to Mike Lombardi and Bill Belichick of bringing in the wrong transfers that haven't been able... Like, you brought in Gio Lopez. He hasn't helped you out on the field as the quarterback that you need. You look at a school like Missouri, and I think his name is
Eli Drinkwitz.
No, is Bo Perula. The kid who they brought in from Penn State and now Missouri, I think they're 4-1 or 5-0, but they brought in the right quarterback.
BC was beating Missouri last year after a quarter, and then it was all downhill from there.
So they brought in, and this is where I'm putting it on Mike Lombardi and Bill Belichick, you brought in the wrong kids that haven't been able to help you on the field.
All right, let's quickly go to Diane before we get to Nick. Diane, what's on your mind?
Hi, guys. Happy Friday.
You too.
Thank you so much. Hi, Courtney. I'm a huge fan of you.
Oh, hi, Diane. Thank you so much. That's so nice.
Same.
I listen to you guys every single day. And I like that Greg's taking a little vacation. I think sometimes he's a little hard on you, Courtney.
Thank you.
So I'm liking that you're a little free from him today. But, guys, I'm calling because my husband made a point about Bill Belichick. He's been a dentist in nursing homes for over 30 years. He thinks Bill Belichick is starting to show signs of dementia. He sees it in his eyes. He's seeing it in some of the things that, you know, are, you know, facial, you know, structure on his face. You know, he just made that comment. Like, I've seen this look before in some patients in nursing homes, and I think he's starting to show early signs of dementia. I'm just putting that in your guys'
ear.
Diane,
can I ask you a quick question before we let you go?
Absolutely.
Do you ever watch us on Twitch?
No, I do not.
Okay. I want you to show your husband and see if he sees any of that in Greg. I just want to make sure that we're not
That's too funny. But maybe that could be something like maybe he's just losing his marbles a little bit.
Yeah. Honestly, it does.
It would make sense. So nice.
It would stand to reason that maybe, because clearly I don't think Bill 20 years ago allows this girl to take over his life the way she has.
Yeah, well, that's still, different, though. That's dementia.
He still works out. Like, he's still...
You hear
still
him talk.
Works out? What does that mean?
You hear him talk, though. You can tell he's still with it. The part of the 24-year-old changing his life, okay, you know, that 24-year-olds will do that to 73-year-old guys. But he's still, I'm with you, he's still with it. He's still, when you hear him in interviews, he doesn't, like, sound like he's slurring his words or, like, you know, he's out of it. So I just think that when you look at all the other stuff that's coming out, disgruntled parents, I get it. I just think if you're UNC, it's even more of a look if you fire him after a season and say, all right, let's roll the dice for one more.
Well, it's many people's favorite part of the week as Nick Kostos joins us. He's the host of You Better You Bet, an Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. Insider calls presented by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Check the latest lines on the BetMGM app. Catch You Better You Bet weekdays 3 to 7 p.m. Eastern, and You Better You Bet countdown to kickoff Sundays 11 to 1 p.m., leading you right up to kickoff on the BetMGM network on the Odyssey app. Good morning, Nick. How are you?
What's going on? Bill Belichick doesn't have dementia. He's just horny. That's it.
That's it.
Both can be true.
That is it.
He's
letting the pee cloud his judgment.
Listen, we've all been there. It's happened to the best of us. I get it.
I saw your impassioned defense of Bill on the social medias, and it was it warmed my heart that the old Giants fan is still standing up and defending the wall.
Yeah, well, I mean, just... Well, because you know this, and you've already done this kind of, and like we've been through this.
Yep.
Because what's going to happen is, like, his coaching career is going to be, and I hope this isn't the case, is going to be retconned by, like, what's happened with North Carolina and then the last couple of years in New England. And all I would say is, while acknowledging, Curtis, that, like, you're right that Brady's more to do with the success. There's no question about it, right? But Bill is still, and if you want to make the case he's not the greatest NFL coach ever, he's certainly on the short list. And prior to being the best head coach ever, or one of the best head coaches ever, he's probably the best defensive coordinator in the history of the NFL. And, like, I don't think that's arguable. And, you know, for younger football fans who don't know Bill Belichick as the defensive coordinator, like, watch Super Bowl 25. Like, that defensive game plan's in Canton. in the Hall of Fame, where he said, we're going to let Thurman Thomas run for 135 yards, and that's how we're going to win the game, and they won the game.
Right.
So I just feel like I think he's going to get dragged through the mud, and deservedly so for some of this stuff, but I don't want this to become like, actually, he was bad, because it's not true.
No.
And it's not deserved.
And Nick, and the one thing I said, and you know, I was fortunate to be around both Bill and Tom, and I said this, and I'll say this, and I think Tom would also echo it. If Bill gets fired after the first year in New England, he probably goes on to be a great defensive coordinator and maybe even gets another opportunity. But we never know who Tom Brady is. Tom never gets a chance because Bill gives him that chance. He probably just becomes a career backup and he's, you know, fighting his way for any piece of scraps that he can get. But Bill is the one who, in 2001, when we, some of us on the team were like, wow, damn, Bill, what is you doing? Said, we're going with Tom Brady as our starting quarterback over Drew Bledsoe, who we just paid a ton of money. And that ultimately led to Tom having the opportunity to be the player he is was.
And I'll say this, just like, and I remember, I've been watching football my whole life. So that's, you know, January 2002, I'm 18. And, you know, Brady gets hurt in the AFC Championship game in Pittsburgh. And Troy Brown obviously has the great punt return in that game. And Bledsoe comes off the bench and, like, I don't think he, like, wins the game, but, like, he's good enough and the Patriots win. And I remember having a conversation with my dad and saying, like, they got to play Bledsoe in the Super Bowl. Like, how do you not play Bledsoe now after he just came off the bench and it was his job? And I remember thinking, like, when it was announced that Brady was going to play, not that, like Brady, not that he sucks, like, that wasn't what I thought, but I remember even thinking they should go with Bledsoe. Brady plays in the game, and obviously, you know, the rest is history. They win 20-17, and they cheated, but they won, sorry. But yeah, they did cheat, but they won.
How do we cheat? Wait, who's they? So we're accurate here.
How about this? Not Jermaine Wiggins.
But who's they? But I mean, it's really not they, right? Who did?
I guess it's Bill.
I guess it's Bill.
Right. In what way? Because there's always this mysterious walkthrough.
Honestly, I'll just say this, Wiggy. I said that. I'm not, like, you know way more about this than me. I said that more as, like, as a joke than anything else.
Oh, okay.
I am not bringing a knife to a gunfight here. I'm sure you are right. I will back off.
Appreciate that one.
I have a couple games I like, Costos. I know we'll get to our betting insider. What do you think about Lions +2.5 this weekend? That's one I liked.
I love the Chiefs.
Ooh.
But we gotta wait until this afternoon because Xavier Worthy, who is obviously like one of the most important players on the team on the offense, until Rashee Rice comes back, and then Rice is the best player, not named Mahomes. He didn't practice yesterday, and that was a surprise because he practiced on Wednesday and he played well for Kansas City on Monday night. So my guess is that he'll practice today, but if he doesn't, and his status is kind of unclear going into Sunday night, then it changes things because the whole handicap as to why I like the Chiefs and for someone else to like the Chiefs would be, and Curtis, I think this is what's problematic for Detroit in this matchup, and it becomes way easier if Worthy doesn't play. Their secondary is in tatters right now, and we could just focus on their two top corners. DJ Reed's on IR. Terry and Arnold definitely missing this game, and we'll see how much longer he's going to be out for. And, you know, like the Chiefs lost on Monday, but Mahomes looks great throwing the ball. And this Chiefs offense, to me, looks like it did a number of years ago, not like what it was last year and what it's been thus far this year. I think the Chiefs put up a big number in the game. I love the Chiefs to win the game, but really need Xavier Worthy to play to really feel strongly about that on Sunday.
Nick, do you stay away from the Niners-Bucks game, especially with Brock Purdy seemingly being out, and then now Mac Jones has this knee injury?
So let's see. So Mac is going to play. Let's see where we're at. Okay, so the point spread of the game is 3. The total's 47.5. I think everything here is correct. The total should be exactly what it is. It's exactly what I would say it should be. And that's, I only say that because 41, 44, 47, key numbers when you talk about totals. It should be a little bit more than 47. I think both offenses have strategic advantages here. The Niners have no pass rush without Nick Bosa, none, zero. And they should be able to score a lot in this game. And on the flip side, think about what the Niners did last Thursday night against the Rams, just picking on those Rams linebackers relentlessly. They're going to be able to do the exact same thing to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers linebackers in this game. So I think both offenses should have success. Make me bet the game. I guess I would begrudgingly take 3 with San Francisco because I feel like I might push. I will not have a bet on this game on Sunday.
All right, Nick, I asked you last week. I had a cup of coffee down there in Duval. Are the Jacksonville Jaguars for real? They're going to be hosting the Seahawks, and I know the Seahawks had a shootout with Tampa Bay. Tell me what's up with Jacksonville, man.
So I loved Wiggy Jacksonville coming into the year. So I bet I bet them to win the AFC South. I bet them to make the playoffs. My thesis for Jacksonville was I felt like the offense with Liam Cohen coming over was going to be explosive with Brian Thomas Jr. and Travis Hunter. And really, they've gotten this done. They really should be 5-0. The loss to Jake Browning in week two looks worse by the day. It's really been on the strength of this defense
right. That's
forcing tons of turnovers. Now, I'm going to throw out a nerdy statistic that, honestly, like I only know this because I listen to people way smarter than me talk. The Kansas City Chiefs on Monday night had an offensive success rate of like 100%. Like, the pick six changed the game. The Devin Lloyd pick. It was a great play by him. It was. It was like James Harrison in Super Bowl 43 against the Cardinals, kind of similar. But Kansas City's offense marched up and down the field on the Jaguars' defense. And while I think the Chiefs are better than Seattle, Seattle's defense is way better than Kansas City's defense. I'm not going to have a bet on this game, I don't think. But if you made me bet the game, Wiggy, I actually would bet Seattle to win the game on Sunday.
All right. And because that's the one thing I've noticed. And like I've heard some, you know, you go to social media and see it. The whole Travis Hunter thing, like he's really done nothing and they don't know what to do with him, whether it's offense or defense. And I thought that they were going to really utilize him, but it's been the strength of their defense.
If they just make him a receiver, he'd probably be awesome.
Now, look, like Wiggy, I'll always defer to you on this stuff because, like, you played and, like, won a championship at the highest level. My opinion, I actually, like, fully agree with Shime. Like, it's too much for him.
Right.
Like, he only knows one position on offense right now, and it's slot receiver. He lines up incorrect, and it's not a commentary on him. Like, he's going to be awesome. Like, no one thinks he's bad. He just, like, he's guarding Travis Kelce on the first drive of the game on defense, and then he's expected to be like a stud receiver on offense in like his fifth game as a rookie.
Right.
And he's coming from a system in Colorado where like the offense was either like run past this guy or take a screen pass and run past like three insurance salesmen. So like, I think it's going to be fine. If I were telling them what to do and no one's asking me for my opinion on this stuff, I would make him a full-time receiver this year and save defense for next year.
Yeah, I would agree with you.
Nick, I know you've been high on the Patriots this season. Is this week a trap game? It's a
discussion
we've had. By the
way, well, I was right about Drake May, though, right? What I said last year.
Yeah.
Stud?
Yeah. Absolute stud. You and I, trust me, I have been on the Drake May bandwagon since before he was even a Patriot.
Why do you always got to, like, jock me for credit, man?
I'm not
the guest
you.
On the show. You can't just be like, great job, Nick. You got to be like,
sorry.
I said it too.
Hey,
so come on,
man. That's why I was giving you credit for being high on the Patriots this season. You were higher than me.
He's a narcissist.
Yes, he is. So, takes one to know one.
We've been talking about this all week. Is this a trap game for the Pats against the Saints coming off a big win against the Bills?
Impossible to know until the game's played. I thought Stephon Diggs had an awesome quote this week where he said, this is almost a bigger challenge for us than last week was as a big dog on the road in Buffalo because now the expectation is that you're supposed to win. And in the betting market, not only is the expectation, guys, that they're supposed to win, but they have to win by margin. They're more than a 3-point favorite, which means, like, more than likely the game can land 4. Like, they're going to need to win by, like, 6, 7, or 10 points to cover the spread in this game. I always talk about injuries because they're important. Do we think Christian Gonzalez is playing in the game?
That hamstring, too. It's like, you got to get away from that injury. That worries me.
I think he plays.
Yeah, I think he plays too.
So I also think he plays because he did practice in a limited fashion yesterday, but this is the kind of thing that gives you a little pause and a little concern, right? Make me bet the game. I'll take the Patriots. I would probably just put them in a money line parlay, but I'm probably going to be on the sidelines on this one. What I would like to see from New England is let's turn the backfield over mostly to Travion Henderson. Let's see Stephon Diggs continue to look like he did on Sunday night. If the Patriots are the team I think they are and can be, I don't want to say like they should win by 50 or they should cover the spread, but they should win on, they are better than the New Orleans Saints. And I'm not going to bet the game, so I'm not interested in that. What I am interested in is someone who bet the Patriots to make the playoffs before the year and over the win total. Go and win the game on Sunday in a game that you should win on the road.
All right, Nick, last one for me here. It's got a couple questions in there, but they'll be relatively quick. Did Daboll,
it's your show, buddy, whatever you want.
Did Daboll save his job? And if you were the Patriots, would you be pursuing A.J. Brown very hard in a trade?
Wow. Oh, I love that second question. Mm-hmm. So did Dable save his job? Like, not yet.
Okay.
I mean, it was big for him. Mm-hmm. But what if they lose, like, every game the rest of the year? He's going to get fired. But, I mean, it was a great sign for him last night. And, like, there's a lot that goes into what happened last night. Mm-hmm. I'll just say, like, my sister actually texted me, like, a half hour ago and was, like, telling me about the game last night. And what I said to her is, and it's the truth, like, you can make a lot of excuses for the Eagles. Bottom line, like, the Giants kind of, like, kicked their ass. Like, they really did. It was a really impressive performance by the Giants. As far as A.J. Brown goes, should the Patriots consider it? Yes. And, like, Elliot Wolf kind of said that they would consider making a move like that before the start of the year, right? He gave that nebulous quote like, hey, if there's someone out there and we could trade a first or second round pick for him, we'll consider it. So should the Patriots be interested? Like, definitely. I cannot imagine a world where the Eagles trade him. So I think
really?
I mean, they won the Super Bowl last year. Like, They're 4-2.
Right, but sometimes it's addition by subtraction. That locker room, and I've been in locker rooms before, that thing is fractured.
Okay.
A.J. Brown does not like Jalen Hurts. I don't care what anybody...
But who cares?
But he has the air of... A.J. Brown is the heir of Devontae Smith, and it's almost like Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown versus Saquon Barkley and Jalen Hurts. And the offensive coordinator is not doing the right thing, and I think they want to remove A.J. Brown because he's a captain.
Yeah, the offensive coordinator, Kevin Petullo, disgrace to Italians right now. So here's what I'd say about this and why I guess like your overall point is correct, Wiggy, but in this specific instance, I pretty strongly disagree because and like I'm a huge Jalen Hurts fan.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think he's awesome. I think I'm one of like his biggest defenders. Not that I don't think he needs to be defended anymore after winning Super Bowl MVP, but he gets killed a lot still by people in the media and otherwise. But like the thing that you can say that's true about Jalen Hurts, even if you're a big fan like I am, is he needs like things around him to be going well in order to be playing at his optimum level, right? Like it was last year, like down the stretch when they were the best team in the league and obviously won the Super Bowl. I don't think that Hurts. So like if we're talking like Mahomes, and you take A.J. Brown away. Okay, like, Mahomes is good enough to elevate everybody else on the team. I don't know if Jalen Hurts is that, while acknowledging he's still great, I don't even mean this as an insult, I don't think he's that player. And then you have to consider, okay, if A.J. Brown's gone, like, so if they make this trade with the Patriots, do the Eagles get Stephon Diggs back? No. Like, do they get Kyle Williams back? No. Do they get Kayshon Booty? Do they get Demario Douglas? Like, who do they get back? Because then your two wide receiver set is Devontae Smith and Jahan Dotson. Dotson's not scaring anybody. Okay, great. Now you're a defensive coordinator and your job's way easier. Now we just take Devontae Smith out of the game. How do they have a passing offense? You don't have one. Like, you have to have A.J. Brown on the field because without him, like, you have nothing else. He draws so much coverage away, that's what makes Devontae Smith have these shots down the field or Dallas Goedert open down the seam. I think the offense becomes infinitely easier to defend without A.J. Brown. And the other thing is the offensive line is way worse this year in Philly than it was last year, and that's why they can't run the ball. It's not because Saquon shot. Like, Landon Dickerson's hurt. The guard Tyler Steen that replaced Mekhi Becton isn't any good. Lane Johnson's not 100% healthy. I think if you take A.J. Brown out, that's like the piece in the Jenga tower. That son of a bitch comes crumbling down. So if the Patriots could swing it, hell yeah, man, you do it. I can't imagine the Eagles would want to do that.
Kostos, greatly appreciate your time. We are way late. I know you got a catchphrase to get to, so let's get to it, and thank you, my friend. Have a great weekend.
Wishing everybody minimal sweats, winning bets, the absolute very best of luck. Go Giants, go Yankees, peace.
That was Kostos, the host of You Better You Bet, an Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Make it legendary for all of your betting and sports talk needs. Check out the BetMGM network on the Odyssey app.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I hate goodbyes. What movie, Shane?
I don't know.
Dumb and
it's never goodbye.
I hate goodbyes.
It's always see you later.
True.
It is. I love seeing you all later.
Yep.
And every time I see Courtney, she's a little bit different, getting closer.
Gosh, I had a doctor's appointment yesterday. It's the first time ever in your doctor's appointment. She's like, and perfect weight gain. I'm like, oh.
There's a great scene in The Office where Ryan says, you know, it's a myth that women have to gain anything more than 9 pounds during their pregnancy.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, and earlier, Wiggs said Greg was pregnant. I wouldn't have said that was
twins.
Twins.
There is an update for Greg. Some wondering if he's tried on the suit yet because we've talked about it. He only sent the measurements, has not tried them on. Mm. I asked Lindsay this morning. He has not tried the suit on yet.
What is he waiting for?
We got to wait to go to the gym, sweat out a bit.
The wedding is tomorrow. I said he needs to try it on today.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yep.
No, because that's a secret. But old trick is you wait and then you don't have to. You just have to stick with whatever the other thing was, so you can't fix it.
Which is weird because I would think like a Key West beach wedding would be just kind of like linens.
It is. It's like a linen tan suit.
Oh, okay. So it probably has a stretchy belly.
I don't know if it'll have a stretchy belly, but I just think like, you know, he's a groomsman, so he's got to wear whatever
he's
wearing.
We need this
wearing
in the open Monday, please, because he's going to be in a mood. I can already feel
you
it.
You know, like some of those linen suits, they come with the like the
elastic
the,
waistband.
Yeah, elastic waistband, because you want to be comfortable and stuff. Like, you ain't got to wear shoes.
Right.
So maybe it's one of those type of things.
Do people buy tuxes still?
I think you just rent them.
Rent them, yeah. Rent the runway.
It ends up being like more expensive if you have to rent them all the time.
But who,
yeah, but the size changes for guys.
And who wears a tux like other than a wedding? Where are you?
Santo
you
and Courtney have at least one black tie a week.
No, not
one. Yeah, but a black tie.
Like Santo owns his tux.
Yeah, but in like black ties now, it's really more about a suit.
No. Santo owning his tux is on brand.
Yeah.
We have to do something quickly here, Shimer. 48 degrees, God in heaven,
man,
in Boston.
Man, that sucks.
It's going to be 61 this afternoon. Jones and Kiefer next. Ken and Curtis tomorrow at 9. I am unable to talk. Thank you for listening.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.